This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Callis on the Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, May 23rd, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll go right down to South Beach for what seemed to be a pivotal game five yesterday. Turned out not really to be a game at all. Miami against Indiana. In Miami, the Heat bury the Pacers 115-83. Pacers couldn't score, 40 points in the first half, 43 in the second. The Heat, James and Wade dominated, as you would expect. A couple of bad signs for the Pacers. Danny Granger, their silent star, who really has gotten aggressive, I would say, in this. You know, a lot of cheap shots yesterday, a lot of hard fouls. Granger has been the guy who has no problems getting into LeBron's face, Dwayne Wade's face once. But yesterday he rolled his ankle not once but twice, limited to 20 minutes, 3 for 6 from the floor, 10 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. I think he's the reason the game was a blowout, not that they would have won if he could have played. But Granger is a really, really good player who doesn't get the credit he deserves. But for Miami, leading the way, who else? The MVP, LeBron James, 12 for 19 from the field, 30 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Dwayne Wade, you know, they're calling James Batman, Wade Robin. I don't buy into that myself. Wade, 28 points on 10 of 17 shooting, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. But it is the James and Wade show. They seem to not miss Bosch as much, and they've been getting incredible help now from Udonis Haslem, who was great last game and was excellent yesterday as well. 5 for 6 from the floor, 10 points, 6 rebounds. I don't want to say he's the scorer to take Bosch's place, but he is the guy who did not have a good regular season, who actually was not even good earlier in the playoffs, but now is playing much better, shooting much better, hitting key baskets, giving a hard foul when he has to. So Haslem was key. Joel Anthony, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks. Again, another guy. These are the guys they're going to need some production from, some inside intimidation, if you will. 4 blocks for Joel Anthony yesterday. It's still the James and Wade show, and that's how it's going to be. But yesterday, Miami takes what I think is a commanding 3-2 lead now. I don't think Indiana's coming back from this. I don't think they're going to win Game 6. And if they do, they got to come back to Miami for Game 7. The Heat out-rebound Indiana 49-35. Now, again, there was a lot of chippiness in this game. Hansbrough fouled Dwayne Wade very hard, and then shortly thereafter, Haslem fouled Hansbrough very hard. And then I don't know if you saw earlier in the series, if you saw that Lance Stephenson, a New York City schoolboy superstar who's now in the, you know, NBA, is like the 12th guy on Indiana. He was on the sidelines, I think it was in Game 3, when LeBron took a foul shot late and missed it. And Lance Stephenson, they put a circle on him on ESPN, gave the choke sign, like LeBron had choked by missing a foul shot. Now everybody in the country knew about that. So Stephenson got in at garbage time at the end of the game, and Dexter Pittman got in at garbage time for Miami. And Stephenson was going to the basket to try and get a rebound on a shot that was going in. Pittman turned and saw him and just laid an elbow underneath his throat that just knocked him down. Now, Pittman was called for a flagrant. But Stephenson really took a shot, and clearly it was a message for that choking signal. But again, the Heat bury the Pacers 115-83. The Heat now, I think, have a commanding 3-2 lead. I don't think it's just a 3-2 lead. George, will he play? He says absolutely. But again, he rolled his ankle twice in one game yesterday and left the arena in a walking boot. So that's the old, maybe he can go out and give it a go, but if he rolls it again, he'll be done. He may not be 100%. He clearly wasn't 100% after he rolled it the first time, and they took him out of the game for good after he rolled it the second time. Only 20 minutes for Granger, only 10 points. Again, when Paul George is your leading scorer with 11, and you only have three guys with double figures, Granger and West both had 10, well, obviously, that's not going to get it done. You forget how good Miami can be defensively, but Battier is a good defender. Chalmers is a good defender. Ronny Turiaf is a good defender. Haslam and Anthony off the bench, of course, and James and Wade are all-around great players. So I thought it was more about the defense than the offense. James and Wade, who combined for 70 in their game 4 win, combined for 58 in their game 5 win, and, you know, that's how it's going to be. But they're going to need contributions from a Haslam or a Chalmers or a Mike Miller or somebody like that to get the job done. But I think they really turned the series around, obviously, going from 2-1 down to 3-2 up. Heat 115, Pacers 83, Heat lead the series 3-2. Now, just to quickly go over in the NBA, you know San Antonio swept the Clippers. They're in the Western Conference Finals. You know Oklahoma City eliminated the Lakers in 5. They're in the Western Conference Finals. Miami now leads 3-2. Game 6 tomorrow. Boston leads Philly 3-2. Game 6 tonight. We'll get into the TV and the times later. But right now, your Western Conference Finals are set. San Antonio against Oklahoma City. And your Eastern Conference Finals looks like it's going to be Miami-Boston. But again, you never know. Boston more experienced than Philly. Miami losing Bosch. But if Indiana doesn't have Granger at 100%, you give them very little chance to win 2 in a row against Miami. So it looks like it'll be Miami-Boston. And in the West, of course, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, which figures to be a fantastic game. I mean, I got to say, San Antonio certainly has surprised me, but they've won now 18 games in a row, 8 in the playoffs in a row, the final 10 in the regular season. This is going to be some series. Tim Duncan playing like he's a kid. But again, we'll see how well they look. They go up against the athleticism of Oklahoma City. That's going to be a great series. One other thing, a lot of talk now, what are the Lakers going to do? Kobe says we'll be back, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not really a good mix there. Meta World Peace has shown, you know, despite all his, I've fixed myself, I'm okay, I'm good. You know, he's still half a whack job. You never know what he's going to do. Not just the elbow to Harden, just the way he plays in general. Do you want him on your team? Well, he's a good defender. He's good offensively sometimes. A lot of people are saying Pau Gasol is going to get traded. One thing I heard today was Philly wants to move Iguodala. Maybe Houston for Pau Gasol for Luis Scola and Lowry. But, you know, Gasol is such a good player. And I think he also has a ton of money. I think he's got like $40 million left on his contract. I don't know if teams like Philly or Houston are going to, you know, he's 32 now, Gasol. I thought they could make a run. I really thought that the Lakers could make a run if Gasol had his head screwed on right, buying him. But frankly, obviously, they didn't. They couldn't deal with Oklahoma City's athleticism, to be honest. Although, when you look at the series objectively, 5 games, they easily could have won 3. They only won 1. So maybe they're not really that far away, but clearly the view in Los Angeles is some changes have to be made, and it's focusing mainly on Gasol. Now, if there's some way that the Lakers could get Dwight Howard, then maybe it would be Bynum, obviously, but absent that, and you don't know what's happening, and, you know, they fired Stan Van Gundy, they fired Otis Smith, the GM, presumably Dwight Howard's going to name the next coach. But he may only be there a year, or at least have some input into the next coach. He's only going to be there a year. Unless they bring in some players around him, he won't be there after next year, Dwight Howard, I'm saying. So then does that renew the Howard to L.A. rumors that were rampant last year? You just don't know. The Howard to Brooklyn thing, well, if Darren Williams stays, there's a chance. If Darren Williams goes, there's no chance Dwight Howard will go to Brooklyn, formerly the New Jersey Nets. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with the Lakers, but that's really for after the season. Right now the focus is on the Final Four, 2 in already, San Antonio and Oklahoma City, 2 coming up in the next, 2 or 4 days, depending on who wins. But it looks like it's going to be Miami and the Boston Celtics. Let's switch now to the NHL, and again, the Los Angeles Kings, the surprise team in hockey. They beat Vancouver, number one seed. They beat St. Louis, number two seed. And last night, they finish off Phoenix, number three seed. Yes, Los Angeles is an eight, but Daryl Sutter has done a great job. Came in midseason, turned the team around. We did talk a lot about Dale Hunter and what he did with the Capitals, but Sutter obviously has done even a better job with the Kings. The Kings are now the first team ever in the NHL playoffs to go 8-0 on the road as they beat the Phoenix Coyotes yesterday in Phoenix in overtime 4-3 to take the series 4-1. Again, the Kings have now played three series and have not played a series over five games. That's pretty amazing, especially for an eight seed. Kopitar scored his sixth of the playoffs to tie up the game at one at the end of the first period. Marc-Antoine Pouliot put the Phoenix ahead 2-1, but Drew Doughty and then Matt Richards on a beautiful pass from Dustin Penner made the score 3-2 Los Angeles. Keith Yandel scores his first goal of the playoffs with just under 4 minutes left to tie the game in regulation. But then it was in the overtime. It was Dustin Penner, who was unbelievable again, scores the overtime winner. Kings 4, Phoenix 3 in overtime. Jonathan Quick played very well again. Hey, Mike Smith played really well for Phoenix, too, 47 saves. What can you say? But the Kings outshoot Phoenix 51-41. Keep in mind it was an overtime game. But Quick right now, I'll say it again, I think he's played better than Henrik Lundqvist. We'll get to the Devils and the Rangers in a minute. I think King right now is the MVP of the playoffs from start to finish. You know, the Conn Smythe Trophy is not for the finals. It's for the balance of the playoffs. So you're talking about four series for those two teams that get to the finals. The Kings are now one of those two teams. And they're going to have another, you know, the Kings have had a good rest all along, frankly, because they've been able to close out these series quickly in four or five games, no more. Invariably in the East, the series have gone longer, and the same is going to be true with the Devils and the Rangers. I mean, the Devils manhandled the Rangers the other day, 4-1 in New Jersey in Game 4 to tie up the series. I thought the Rangers were dominated in that game, and I'm a Ranger guy. But they really had no answers. Brodeur had a shutout till very late in the game when it was 3-0. Didn't really matter. He played very well. Yes, Lundqvist is Lundqvist, and he might be the best goalie in the NHL. But Brodeur, I think, you know, he might view this to be his last stand. They now tie up the series 2 games apiece. Game 5 tonight, 8 o'clock. We'll get into the TV later. But I think the Rangers are in trouble, and I'm a Ranger guy. You know, they have done the same thing each time, 2-2 after 3. They won games 5 and 7 at home to take the series. But we'll just have to see if they can do it. They, again, were manhandled by the Devils the other night. The Devils are a good defensive team. Brodeur's still good. You know, everyone's saying, oh, he's not as good. He's 40, and that may be true, but not as good as for Brodeur is better than 90% of the goalies in the NHL today, and he played very well the other day. So, you know, the Rangers are going to come out a lot stronger. Yes, the Rangers have the home ice advantage. Yes, Game 7 in their building, they're 2-0. You know the stat we've talked about, the Rangers cannot, no team has ever won the Stanley Cup after winning 2 7-game series in the first two rounds of the playoffs. You have to give the Kings an edge. They're well-rested, they're playing great. Sutter has done a great job. No matter who they play, you have to give them the edge, and they're certainly going to be so far more rested than the Rangers or the Devils. So we'll see what happens. Game 5 tonight, you know, everybody says the same thing. Whoever wins Game 5 wins the series. If the Devils can go up 3-2, they'll be very tough in their own building in Game 6. If the Rangers get it, it's almost a done deal that it'll be 7 games because that's just the way the Rangers have been doing things. But that 7th game will be back in the Garden. And while all the coaches are now saying, oh, you know, home ice, Tortorella, home ice doesn't mean anything till Game 7, I don't know that that's necessarily true. But certainly now the Rangers are 2-0 at home in Game 7s. I think they're 5-0 lifetime at Madison Square Garden in Game 7 in their history. So obviously if they can get this win tonight at home, which they would expect, but I'll say it again, the Devils played so well the other day, that it makes you think that the Devils have a chance to beat the Rangers in the Garden in Game 5. And I agree with the people who say whoever wins Game 5 is going to win the series. Put a gun to my head, I'll still pick the Rangers. But certainly the Devils showed the other day that they can dominate. They've outplayed the Rangers over the first four games. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But it's still 2-2 looking at Game 5 tonight at MSG. And I do agree, the winner of that game, I think the Rangers are going to win the series in 7, but the winner of that game should win the series. If it's the Devils, then it'll be Game 6 in New Jersey. Obviously, if it's the Rangers, you don't expect the Rangers to win in New Jersey the way they've been playing. Then it'll be a Game 7 back at the Garden where, you know, the Rangers have been very, very good. Lundqvist has been very, very good. I think it's Lundqvist and Jonathan Quick right now for the Conn Smythe Trophy, and I would give the edge to Jonathan Quick, the L.A. goalie, at this stage of the game. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. It's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. What's new?
I'll tell you what's new, but you've got to promise to keep it a secret. I don't want this to get back to my customers at the spa.
Now I've got to know. Come on, tell me.
I found this skin cream called Esotique that's simply amazing for my dark circles, brown spots, and wrinkles. All my customers are asking me what I'm doing for my skin, so I just tell them I had plastic surgery. If they find out about Esotique, they're going to stop coming to my spa.
Esotique will tackle your dark circles, wrinkles, and age spots, leaving you with young and radiant skin. The results will astonish you. Call now for your risk-free supply of Esotique. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854. Say goodbye to dark circles, age spots, and wrinkles. Supplies of Esotique are limited, so call now. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. We'll get to all the baseball in a minute. Just one miscellaneous note. Looks like Mike Woodson is going to get a multi-year deal from the New York Knicks to remain their coach. He did take over for D'Antoni, 18-6 down the stretch. Got beaten 5 in the first round of the playoffs. No shock there. The Knicks had a lot of issues, obviously, with injury and with just melding as a team. You know, they've got a lot to do. Do they have a lot of talent? Absolutely. Carmelo's Carmelo. I think Jeremy Lin is a very good NBA point guard. Stoudemire, we'll have to see with the season rest. Chandler, the defensive player of the year. This Iman Shumpert is better than you've heard. He's unbelievable defensively, and he's pretty good offensively. Of course, he tore his ACL. He's got some issues. Baron Davis, don't know if he'll be back. But they can run out a very good squad. I think Stoudemire is going to have to come off the bench for them to be really good, but that may not be in the cards for a $20 million a year player, but I think it would be best. Again, if you watch the Knicks at all, you know if Anthony plays the four, he's just much, much better than if he plays the three. If Chandler starts at the five and Stoudemire's at the four and Anthony's at the three, you go, look at all this talent, but really what you have is a clog-up where Anthony can't be Anthony. I think that would be the best way for the Knicks to go. Will they do that? Well, it's going to be up to Mike Woodson. You know, you just heard vague Phil Jackson, who knows what, but as I wrote some time ago at SportsTalkNetwork.com, Phil Jackson is not coming back to coach this Knicks team. And it doesn't matter now because it looks like Mike Woodson is going to get a multi-year deal, and you have to give him credit. You know, they had the first interview with Mike D'Antoni, who re-emphasized that he resigned, that he was not fired, that he resigned. Now, he was in the last year of his contract. No way were they bringing him back. And I'll say it, you know, we went over the schedule in detail here. I can't remember it all off the top of my head. But you're playing pretty well, and then you play the Celtics on the road, and then you play Dallas and San Antonio back-to-back on the road, and then you had some other tough games. And you play through all those, and you lose all those, and you walk in, and you quit the morning that you're going to play Portland, which was the only team at the time more dysfunctional than the Knicks. I think the Knicks beat them by 40 in the Garden that night. And then they had a very weak schedule by comparison. So why would you go through five or six brutal games, most, if not all, of which you were going to lose anyway, and then quit when you had five or six games that you could win? I think they won all of them but one under Woodson. See, the timing to me is just a little suspicious. If you wanted a new coach to get off to a good start, you weren't going to fire your existing coach when you had Boston on the road, Dallas on the road, San Antonio on the road. You know, you weren't going to do that. But you would fire him when you had Portland at home, I think Indiana back-to-back, I think Toronto two games. I mean, these were all winnable games, and I think they won like five of the first six with Woodson. So, but again, D'Antoni said, you know, he gave an interview the other day for the first time and said he did resign. He was not forced to quit. So you can believe what you want out of that. I just find it hard to believe that if you're looking at the schedule and your team was playing well until they went on that road trip, but you knew you were going to have trouble at Boston, at San Antonio, at Dallas. And then you were eventually coming home the next week with Portland at home, Indiana home and away, Toronto at home. I mean, come on. It just doesn't make no sense. If it's true that that's why he resigned when he resigned of his own volition, then that was a pretty dumb mistake to make, and a pretty bad way, in my opinion anyway, to go out. In any event, let's get to the baseball. We're going to focus on a few first-place teams, some of them surprising. The first-place Cleveland Indians with a big three-game series against the Tigers in Cleveland. Now, I was out in Cleveland over the weekend, and Chris Perez, their very good closer, really had some strong statements, I think correct. You know, if you go back to the Cleveland of the 90s with Albert Bell and a young Manny Ramirez and a very good team, they used to sell the place out. And now you go there. I mean, here's a perfect example. The Tigers, their arch rivals within the division, and right now, as of today, four games behind Cleveland, Cleveland in first place. But yesterday, for the first game, three games behind Cleveland in first place, and they only had 15,000 people. That's pretty sad. Cleveland has a good team. But in any event, Chris Perez, who got a standing ovation when he came in the game last night to get the save, what he said was true. They're last in attendance. And again, Cleveland has been a great baseball town forever. You can go back to the 40s with Lou Boudreau and Bob Feller. I mean, Cleveland has been a great baseball town forever. So hopefully the fans will start to come back. Yesterday, the Indians with a very good win over who I view to be, I mean, the White Sox are in second right now, but I view the Tigers, Kansas City and Minnesota, essentially done already, frankly. But I view it to be Cleveland and the Tigers. You know, Cleveland was up there for a while last year, kind of faded August, September. But yesterday, Indians against the Tigers, Indians 5, Tigers 3. Uvaldo Jimenez gets the win. He's 5-3. Rick Porcello takes the loss for the Tigers. He's 3-4. Jimenez gives up 3 earned runs in 6 innings. You know, again, they call that a quality start. I don't know about that. But Jimenez is 5-3. Perez got his 14th save of the year. So he's having a very good year. He's a very good closer. Yesterday, for the Indians, Sinshu Chu batting leadoff, 2-4, hitting .274. Brantley, the center fielder, 2-4. Those were the only two guys with 2 hits. Travis Hafner, the DH, 2 RBIs. Asdrubal Cabrera was having a heck of a year. He's a very good player. 1-4, he's hitting .308. He had an RBI and a walk. They have a good lineup, Santana, the catcher. I mean, they're good. Casey Kochman, 3-4 yesterday, playing first base. Hit over .300 for Tampa Bay last year. Very good glove guy. I mean, the Indians have a very good team. And, you know, their bullpen, Sip and Pestano and Smith, they've got a good bullpen as well, with Perez at the back end with his 14th save yesterday, pitching a scoreless 9th. Indians 5, Tigers 3. In fact, Perez struck out Cabrera, who was the tying run at the time, and then got Fielder to line out. Fielder goes 0-5 yesterday. Cabrera 0-2 with 3 walks. Obviously, a lot of respect there. But the only guy in the lineup who got more than one hit is Dierks, the left fielder. He's hitting .340, so give him a lot of credit. But Cabrera, who's hitting .304, does get 3 walks, but goes 0-2 with a strikeout. Prince Fielder 0-5 with a strikeout. Give Cleveland a lot of credit. I think they have enough to stay around. I don't know if they can beat Detroit. Verlander is going to pitch either today or tomorrow. He's obviously, he's Justin Verlander. But that's a big series, and for Cleveland to get the first win, and again, hopefully now the fans will come out, 15,000 fans yesterday in Cleveland. One other American League game with a surprising first-place team, Orioles and the Red Sox down at Camden Yards. What can you say? Buck Showalter working his magic. The Orioles 28-16 now after they beat the Red Sox 4-1. DuBrant, well, Matus gets the win. Brian Matus 4-4, 6 1/3, 1 earned run. DuBrant takes the loss. He's 4-2 for the Red Sox. But Baltimore, I mean, these guys have been unbelievable. Markakis 2-4 yesterday. Jones having a heck of a year with 14 home runs, 1-4 yesterday. He's hitting .306. Only Markakis got more than one hit, but you got Davis hitting .300, Tolleson hitting .313. I mean, these guys are playing out of their minds. Betemit hit a home run yesterday. He's only hitting .223, but he had a home run, as did Tolleson. Betemit's 7th, Tolleson's 1st of the year. Johnson 16-16 in saves, a scoreless 9th. He's 16-16 with a 0.87 ERA. Give him a lot of credit. Orioles 4, Red Sox 1. Want to go quickly to a couple, again, first-place teams in the National League this time. The Dodgers with the best record in baseball. Don Mattingly on his way to Manager of the Year. Dodgers 30-13. They scored 2 in the 9th to beat the Diamondbacks. Dodgers 8, Diamondbacks 7th. De Jesus with the big hit, a RBI double in the top of the 9th to score 2. Bobby Abreu hitting .333. Tony Gwynn Jr. hitting .298, 3-5 yesterday. You know, what can you say? Ethier 1-3, hitting .321. Of course, they're doing all this without their Triple Crown threat. Matt Kemp, you got to give the Dodgers and Mattingly a lot of credit. Dodgers 8, Diamondbacks 7. Lindblom gets the win in relief. He's 2-0. Jansen gets the save, his 6th of the year. For Arizona, Bloomquist with 2 hits, Roberts with 2 hits, Justin Upton 3-5 with 2 RBIs. Overbay hit a home run, his 2nd of the year for Arizona. Actually gave them the lead, 7-6 in the bottom of the 8th, which was erased in the top of the 9th by the Dodgers. And Bell hit his 1st of the year. Shaw blew the save, and J.J. Putz got the loss. He's 0-3 after giving up those two earned runs in the ninth inning. Dodgers 8, Arizona 7. One other, again, surprising first-place team now, the Washington Nationals, 26-17, going up against Doc Halliday. Who do you like? Well, you like Halliday, right? Well, not really. Nationals get 4 in the third. They beat the Phillies, Nationals 5, Phillies 2. Bryce Harper hits two hard shots off of Halliday. His first two times up, a single and a double. He's 2-for-5 with two RBIs, only batting .264, but I think it's only a matter of time before Bryce Harper is a star. You know, they seem to be playing him in every outfield position as well. He played right yesterday, but I've seen him play center. I've seen him play left as well. Ian Desmond hits his eighth home run of the year. Batting .280 with eight home runs, pretty good for the shortstop. Rick Ankiel hits his third home run, the converted pitcher, of course, only hitting .230, but he does get a home run yesterday. Give Washington a ton of credit. They're 26-17. The Phillies, viewed to be the favorites in those divisions, they drop to 21-23. Halliday gets the loss. He's 4-4. Zimmerman gets the win. He's 3-4. Quickly to the TV tonight, the main NBA, well, only one NBA playoff game, Celtics at 76ers. Again, Philly down 3-2, playing at home, can get the win at home, but you like the Celtics in either a Game 6 or a Game 7. Devils at Rangers, all-important Game 5 today, series tied at 2 at Madison Square Garden. Celtics at 76ers, 8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Devils at Rangers, 8 o'clock Eastern, NBC Sports Channel. The baseball today on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock Eastern. You'll like this one, the Nationals against the Phillies in Philadelphia. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.